it's Ruth here, and I also have Robbie with me too.
Yeah, I'm here too, and we're here to continue our series this autumn, diving into different parts of the coaching business flywheel. If you haven't already, this is the third episode in this kind of mini series, scattered amongst other episodes. So you can go back and check out those other episodes. There's one where we give a high level overview of the coaching business flywheel, which people who haven't checked it out yet, is my idea of a virtuous cycle, which if you pay attention to, it helps you think about growing your coaching business. But also, I think, and we'll get into this again today, these are the fundamental things that have to happen in every sustainable coaching business. So there's an episode about that, and then we touched into the first of those things, the first of those five things that you have to do, connecting with people, in the last episode in this series that we did. We recorded a little while ago, so we were just talking before we switched on about picking up that energy. And I think one of the things, Ruth, since we last recorded, you asked a great question in, I think, the first episode in that series, which is like, how is this different to all the stuff that people have out there? And I think I might have said this at the time, but I've been thinking about it quite a lot. It's like, I think what we're trying to do with this flywheel is we're not saying how to do it. We're just saying this is how it works. Now, in there, in these episodes, we are going to get into some ways to do it. But I think that really feels important to me, that what we're really trying to do here is demystify how coaching businesses work as far as we can from what we know so far. You might want to say something about that, but just should probably say, if people haven't, it could be useful to, we're going to get into today offering people opportunities to experience you more. That's one of the things on the coaching business flywheel. If you want to see the flywheel, if you just Google the coaching business flywheel or go to thecoachesjourney.com, you can see an image of it. Anything you want to pick up from what I just said, Ruth, before we move in?
Yeah, there was just something when you referred to the question that I'd asked about how is this different from make six figures in 6 weeks. And I think just something I'd like to pick out there is that phrase of you can't help but, that kind of applies to the arrows throughout the flywheel. If you do this thing, you can't help but.
Yeah. Yeah. I always say almost can't help but. Because I'm Enneagram type 6, so I doubt everything, because it's like, it's almost as good as if you do enough of these things. But of course, I think the almost is important, because that's about being skillful at each stage of this. But yeah, the idea for people who haven't been back before is, you know, if you do the first thing on the flywheel, you almost can't help but do the second thing. So in that case, if you connect with more people, you almost can't help but end up offering people opportunities to experience you more.
Mm.
And that's kind of where we're up to. So we talked last time about how connecting with people is, in a way, the fundamental part of this. Because it is the first experience of, you're giving people an experience of yourself as you do that. That was one of the insights that I really got from that last conversation we had. But here we're going another stage forward. So we're recording these back to back. You'll get these two episodes, this one and the next one, a couple of weeks apart. But the next two things are on the flywheel. So if you connect with more people, you almost can't help but offer people opportunities to experience you more. If you offer people opportunities to experience you more, you almost can't help but create insight for those people. We're going to do those two together. They are closely related. And of course, it's a model, right? So lots of these things sometimes happen at once. But the crucial thing we're going to talk about in this conversation is, I guess, why you might want to offer people to opportunities to experience you more, and why it's important to focus on the offering. And at the top of this, I want to say that, right? The things on the flywheel are things that are within my control as a coach to do. So I can't guarantee that someone will take me up on the opportunity that I'm offering them, but I can control whether I offer that opportunity. So that's an important distinction that it's worth saying up front, because as we talk about it, we're going to be in the messy complexity of reality, and we're going to be talking about with offering and giving experiences at once. So it's maybe a bit vague, but I wanted to say that at the top. Anything you want to ask about that, Ruth, or shall I just jump into some of the kind of fundamentals here?
No, it's not something to ask. I think it's just a point to think about, and it kind of relates back to almost can't help but. And this is why it is different from make six figures in 6 weeks, is because there's no timescale. So connecting with people might mean that 2 years down the line, one of those people that you connected with comes back to you.
Yeah, which is both the good thing, i.e. like the engineering side of the flywheel is store up momentum that you can use later, right? So like that's the good thing. In a way, that's the whole point, right? Every connection you make may work for you repeating for the rest of your coaching career. And it's the bad thing, right? This is a complexity fit idea. That's my intention anyway, i.e., you know, we can't control things. We can't make things happen in a world like this. You can't make someone buy coaching from you. And most coaches, to be honest, are way the other side of that, right? They're not even really letting, sometimes we're not even really letting people buy stuff from us, but because we're so afraid of making people. So we can't force this to some extent. And yet, if we do enough of these things, we almost can't help but. And extraordinary levels of action sometimes lead to extraordinary results. Although, always. So look, the headline I wanted to put in here as I was reflecting on this is, with this flywheel, what we're saying is, if you do these things, you almost can't help but, if you do enough of these things, you almost can't help but have a sustainable coaching business. One of the crucial moments in a sustainable coaching business is somebody pays you some money. And really, one of the principles here is, to pay you some money, people have to trust you to deliver something based on the money they're giving you. That's why they're giving you the money. They're giving you some money so that they can get something that they want. This is like the fundamental transaction, I guess. And why we're doing this, why we're giving people an opportunity to experience us more, is to build that trust so that they feel more confident that they can, that they will get what they want from us. And it reminded me of, quite like early on in my coaching business, a couple of years in, I was trying to think what training will I do next? And I basically thought of who would I be most excited to do some training with? And the person that came to mind was Brené Brown. And I had been in a room with Brené Brown. I went to see her talk, but I'd never spoken to her. And she never actually really offered to sell me anything. And yet, I had experienced her through her books, through her TED Talks initially, then through her books, then through some podcast appearances, and then through this, like, truly, I can see it and feel the experience of being in the room. It was a funny event. I think there were about three men there out of about 400 people, because it was an event run by the women's magazine Red. And so,
when was this?
This was 2015.
Wow.
And I can remember it really clearly. And so I'd had these experiences. Brené Brown had been out in the world offering this. And so when I thought, who do I want to learn from? I thought Brené Brown. Now, unfortunately, and then I got excited because I was like, actually, when I add this up, I could go to Texas, where maybe she would actually be there if I did her Dare to Lead training. Unfortunately, this is the only time this has ever happened. I was restricted by my lack of coaching credential at that time. So it's the only time in the whole, I've got an ICF coaching credential, but you were only allowed to join her Dare to Lead training at that point, or Daring Way training it was at that point, if you were a qualified social worker or a credentialed therapist or credentialed coach or maybe some other things as well. So then I basically thought, okay, I can't train with Brené. So is there anyone else who I would feel just as excited to train with? And I thought of Rich Litvin. And the story is the same, right? But this time I'd never been in a room with Rich. I'd read his book and I'd listened to him on some Coaches Rising events, but I felt like I'd experienced him, and I hadn't experienced him that much. And essentially at that point, I tried to buy a £10,000 or dollar, I can't remember, thing, essentially off a web page within a few weeks of having that thought, despite having had no direct experience of him, except he had offered many opportunities to experience him more, including, I don't know if he still does this. I don't kind of see him doing events on other people's things anymore, but he was on the Coaches Rising Summit 1 year, and while everyone else did a talk, Litvin didn't do a talk. Litvin did coaching. And this is because he wanted people to have the most connected experience of working with him that he could give them without them working with him. And I can remember the name of the woman. She was called Anjali, and it was amazing. And I can remember where I was when I was listening to this thing. And after that, I kind of knew something was up there for me. And that's why I ended up spending all that money working with him. And it was worth it. And I never really doubted that. So this is why we might want to give people opportunities to experience us more. So both of those are doing the, there are a few ways we can do this. We can do experiences while we're there, and we can do experiences while we're not there. And the other key principle in there, which is something I kind of knew, but I really heard from Neil McKinnon, one of the other hosts of the podcast. He once said to me something like, I checked this language with him this morning, actually, and neither of us could remember exactly what he'd said the first time. But the way he said it today was, we can think about this as offering the most pure, undiluted experience of working with us as possible. Because if we're trying to build the trust so that people will say, I want to buy coaching from you, the closest of an experience they have to that already, the more confident they will be of what they can get from it. So the metaphor I kind of messily use here sometimes is, you know, if you want someone to buy a particular car, you could, like, giving them a chance to drive a car gets them closer to buying the car you want them to buy. But if you really want them to buy that car, if you can let them drive the actual car you want to sell them, then if they want that car, they're much more likely to buy it. So we get this chance. Can we offer them the opportunities to experience us more as close to, as pure and undiluted as an experience of us as we can? So there's some high-level things. What should we slow down on, Ruth? Or shall I kind of do the next bit, get into the practicalities? I think that's probably what's next, isn't it?
You didn't just answer my question that you asked me then, did you, Robbie?
Probably, yeah. It's like, it's great. You're doing great coaching here, Ruth. Just like, let me ask my own next question.
Yeah, there is something I want to slow down on that. Quite often when you and Neil start chatting, I get lost.
Yeah, good. Good to know for when me and Neil inevitably do another episode together.
Yeah, but it might just be me that you lose, not, you know. That might be my issue. So you were talking about the best way for people to work with us is for them to work directly with us as a coach.
Yeah. So let's slow it down. That's my view, right? So I think there's two things that are going on here, right? We're trying to explain why people would want to make sure they're offering prospective clients and people generally opportunities to experience them more. And then there's, what do we think are the most effective ways of doing that? So those two things are going on. So for example, pretty much anyone who has a coaching sales process, i.e. who has a coaching business, has been told or suggested or seen other coaches doing this thing that we're talking about. So someone, an inquiry comes in, almost no coaches just reply to the email saying, here's how I work, here's how much it costs, pay me here on this credit card page or with this invoice. Almost everyone says, come along to a chemistry call. Or Phil Bolton, who was on the podcast in episode 2, who's great on some of this stuff, he the way he called that chemistry call was a consultation. And he had some frameworks for that, slightly different word, essentially the same thing. We're going to have a conversation. We're going to work out if it's right for us to work together. And then for me, one of the great contributions of the Prosperous Coach is, and I've heard Livin say that this is partly a response to what was happening at the time, i.e. people were trying to sell coaching based on a 15-minute chemistry call experience of them. And what they said in the Prosperous Coach is, well, what if instead you give people 2 hours of your absolute best coaching? And at the end of that, they're going to want to work with you if they're the right person, because they're going to have just had this amazing experience with you. And you focus on serving really deeply. And what Neil's reflection was is, one of the ways we can think about the kinds of experiences we offer people is, how close to a pure, undiluted experience of me coaching you can I give you using whichever medium it is? And in a way, the A-star gold standard experience of coaching with me is coaching with me.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. So what are the other ways?
Yeah.
Or do you not want to go there yet? Have I jumped ahead?
Let's do it. I think it's the right thing. So I think there's a few ways to think about it. In a way, so there's all the ways that, all the things we can do to, So we're in this muddy period now between this episode and the next episode, which is, we're going to talk now about the ways we might create insight with people, but we also need to talk about, how do we offer those things to people? right? Yeah. So, because that's what this episode is about, right? If we were being pure about this, this is about, so let's say one way, so it's all the things that we see coaches do. So all the things that people try to sell to coaches via LinkedIn as the six steps to six figures in 6 days or whatever it was you said earlier, they are all usually, they will include some kind of time when you create insight for people. So maybe I'm getting a LinkedIn ad at the moment for one, which is like, it actually is six-step process to six-figure coaching business using only LinkedIn, right? And there's no way that that doesn't have, at some point, an offer to experience the coach more, right, in some way. But all the things that coaches do to generate clients are an opportunity to experience you more. So blog posts, podcasts, social media, talks, workshops, other kinds of work, so facilitation or training that you might do. So all of those are opportunities to experience the coach more. And we can, with each of those, if we zoom in on what we're trying to do is build the trust in the person so that they really believe that your coaching will do what you think it will do, right? You think it's going to really serve them. How do we help them understand and see that and know that it's the right time for them? All those things you can do through social media, podcasts, blogs, whatever it is, the more you can make them a real experience of you and the more you can create insight, the better, right? So yeah, having a ChatGPT generated blog about why coaching is useful, far less useful for growing coaching business than an actual reflection from you about what it's like to live as a human, right? For you. Because then they get an experience of what's it like for Ruth to be a human. I'd heard people say this, and then it started happening after I'd created a body of work. People be like, "Oh, you feel like you're writing," or "Ah, oh, you're like the guy on the podcast." You know, Alex Whitten said in one of his testimonial, it's like, "Ah, oh, the Coach's Journey community, it's like the podcast but on steroids," right? And that's his way of saying this. It's like the podcast isn't a full experience of working with me, but it's not that far off. Like it's like the flavor is still there because I'm still there and I'm working quite hard actually to be an actual person on a podcast, not a polished version of Robbie. So those are all the things. And then the other question is, how do we actually offer people the chance to do this? Like, how do we get active once we've got the blog post or the event or the coaching session or the chemistry call? How do we start offering those opportunities for people to actually experience us more?
Mm.
Does that make sense? Is there anything there you want to pick up?
Yeah, I think it's interesting that like you see this as being really connected to creating insight, but I see it quite separate.
Nice. Say some more about that.
Well, in the same way that like my initial look at the coaching flywheel, connecting with people meant in my head inviting them to a coaching session. Yeah. So it is just about really slowing down, because connecting in the way that we talked about it was about being near people, meeting people. That wasn't about inviting. That wasn't about asking them to work with you or if they wanted to work with you. So in the same way, this bit for me is about how do you create the chance for people to experience you? And that at the minute really is quite separate to creating insight. And I think, and like it's up to you, because we are trying to keep this as short and sweet as possible, that actually digging into those ways that you've kind of just listed off. So you said, you know, blog posts, facilitation, training. Actually, it could be quite useful to talk about those and how that can give people the chance to work with you.
Yeah. Yeah, this is so interesting. And I can't remember if I said this after we started recording or before, but I think for these two, you know, the coaching business flywheel is a new model, right? It's only been in existence really in its current form for less than a year. And this is as much an opportunity for us to explore it and test it as it is to share it with people, to be totally transparent. And And I, in my head there, I'm wondering, is there another step that we're not talking about that isn't currently in the flywheel? Or am I being too specific here about the offer? And maybe you're right. Maybe it's like, actually, this is like, provide opportunities for people to experience you more. And they can be about creating insight, but actually they can just be about experiencing you. I think you have to do both things, but they don't have to happen at the same time. And I'm kind of talking about them as though they have to happen at the same time, right?
I'm definitely talking about them happening separately.
Yeah. Okay.
So you perhaps write in a blog, putting it on LinkedIn, that then sends someone to your website, that then might mean that they listen to a podcast appearance, that might then mean they join your mailing list.
Yeah, and the crucial thing in this, so the good thing about social media platforms is they, once you post something on it, that is an offer to other people to experience it more. So it's kind of, if you post your blog on LinkedIn, then automatically that is going to show it to some people. Now, it's not super in your control who it gets shown to, but that is, you create the blog post, which hopefully is a reflection of you, make it as pure and, what was Neil's word, undiluted an experience of you as you can. And I accidentally did that through the 12-minute method, right? If people want to read about that more or find out more, you can hit my website. But LinkedIn is then showing that to some people. So by posting it on LinkedIn, that would count here. Like, if you do enough of that, you almost can't help but get to the creating insight stage, which we're getting to later. Similarly, to some extent, podcast platforms do that. But crucially, once you have a resource like that, once you have somewhere, you know, coming up is an opportunity to experience you more. A workshop you've decided to run. So Allegra Stein, on one of the episodes I did with her, she talked about, I can't remember what it was called. The cafe had a cool name. And it was like, she ran this thing every, with a local cafe, that she asked, can I just turn up and run a workshop here in this corner every fortnight? And it was called like, I can't remember, you know, there was like an insight pun in there or something like that. And there's the opportunity for people to experience her more. But at some point, she's got to tell some people about that. And that's the bit that's within her control. That once we've set up these opportunities to experience you more, it could be a blog post, it could be a podcast appearance, it could be a mailing list that you're going to send out every 2 weeks, it could be the blog you've written on LinkedIn or on your website, it could be some kind of coaching experience. Once you've got those, then there's the act. Are you willing to put that in front of other people? And that's the thing you can track. Right. So like we talked previously about making this into games. So the thing you can track is the offers you make. And in this, when we get into this, we have to like remember there's a great Steve Chandler story, which is like, if you saw someone walking in the desert looking thirsty and you had some water, you wouldn't get lost in your head about like, should I give them the water? Or maybe they don't want water from someone like me, you know, or like, I'm just not sure I'm qualified to give this person water.
They're going to think I'm weird if I offer them water.
Is it a bit forward? It's not very British to just offer water, right? If someone's thirsty, offer them the water, right? Crucial principle here is, you know, you're just offering someone a gift. So once you've got the opportunity to experience you more, you're offering someone a gift. Some people might not want the gift. In fact, definitely some people won't want it. That's okay. If someone comes out of the desert, you think they're coming out of the desert, and you think they would like a drink of water, if they say no, you're not going to force them to drink the water, but definitely better to have offered them that drink in case they really need it. Right? So that's the kind of principle we're at here. Once you've got the blog post that you are willing to pin yourself to, then there's the time to just sit down and think, who might be interested in this that I could send to? Who can I tag in on this? Or, and you know, this is in the... So people who haven't got it can go to the Coach's Journey website get the free ebook, Introduction to the Coaching Business Flywheel. One of the things I say in there is the place that we talked about this a bit last time as well, the place that I advise new coaches to start is often here, and often with an invitation practice. And that's because one of my early coaches, Joel, set me a challenge once. He just said it from nowhere. I don't know where he got the idea, really. I should ask him. Well, probably I think you should do an invitations challenge this month. It might have been a Litvin thing. It might be something else. And we settled on send out 30 invitations to coaching sessions. And that is 30 opportunities to experience you more. And this is in May 2016. And
so that's just an invitation to a one-to-one coaching session with you.
Yeah, that was the move I made. And now when I think about it, the reason I advise people of that is A, everybody's already got a network. And so, you know, you may think it's not relevant, but you're wrong. Almost certainly, we're underselling our networks the whole time. And then crucially, if we get back to the flywheel language that you pulled out at the start, if you have an invitations practice, i.e. you practice sending out invitations, you almost can't help but have a coaching practice, i.e. some people to coach. In the end, if you send enough some invitations, some people will say yes, especially if you word them well. And if people want the way I word them, I'll kind of give high level versions of a couple in a minute. You can buy template emails. It's called the Coaching Business Flywheel Booster Pack, which comes with a guarantee, a full money back guarantee as well. If you send enough invitations, you almost can't help but have a coaching practice. And if you have a coaching practice, i.e. you coach enough people, you almost can't help but have a coaching business. And this also really moved for me. So those invitations, let me do the high level version of it. And why this bit matters so much to me is that coaching, this particular bit of the flywheel really matters to me, because I think too many coaches quit coaching because the business of coaching is too hard. And I think the reason the business of coaching feels too hard is because people get hopeless, essentially, because they feel like it's out of their control. They feel like they don't have any agency. And when I was really feeling like that, I was on a Coaches Rising call with a woman called Carolyn Freya-Jones. And she flipped my question, which was a kind of scarcity-based question, into a possibility-based action, which was a cool invitation, which is like, think of somebody who you'd be excited to coach. Everyone can do this now while you're listening. Who comes to mind that you'd just be someone you know who you would just be really excited to just get the chance to coach? Write to them, say, I got this advice from a podcast to think of the person I'd be most excited to coach. I thought of you. Here's why. Would you like a coaching session? I'm not going to try and make you be a client. So don't worry about that. We're just going to get to do some work together. Oh, and by the way, if you want to say no to this, I totally understand as well. Your time is precious.
What was your scarcity-based question to her?
Yeah, I was working in a big office building with lots of small companies in it. And I got them to send out an email to everybody there saying, I've just started my coaching business. I'm looking for some of my first clients or practice clients as a nominal fee. And then I ended up with a bunch of sales conversations from it, and they weren't going that well. And I was like, I'd had a couple of them, I think. And I was like, what can I do better in these conversations? She was just like, that's the wrong question. The right question is, like, how can you just have an endless way to get into great conversations with people? The other thing that I loved about it, as soon as I started doing it, is it meant that everybody who was an inquiry for me, or a possible lead, if you want that language, I got to do some coaching with. Instead, before I had all these like almost coaching conversations with people when I was doing a consultation, but like I didn't actually get to coach them. And instead, once I was doing that, so now whenever I get an inquiry, pretty much, I mean, I do some filtering, but whenever I get an inquiry, I coach that person. And for most of the first 5 years, especially, like that was just vital and valuable, because suddenly I've coached, you know, 50 more people than I would have coached otherwise over a couple of years, because I got to actually coach them, which is good for business because it's the pure, unfiltered experience of me, but also is just good for my experience. And we get in the coaching business flywheel, if people have got it up, there's a line from, I mean, it's actually from Help People Create Insight, because usually if you coach somebody, the crucial thing you're going to do in that session is help them create insight, over and across to connect with people. Because there's some chance, if you do a really cool chemistry call with people, there's a chance that people refer people to you and connect people to you after that. But if you coach them for a session, then they really know how to do that. And that actually was the other invitation. Again, you can get the template for this in the Coaching Business Flywheel Booster Pack. But the other invitation that Carolyn Freya-Jones basically dictated in that call I was on was, just think of people you know who probably won't become a client because you know them well or something, but who have a great network, and invite them into a coaching conversation and be really explicit, not because you'll become a client, but because you're the kind of person that might refer people to me. And what better way to refer people to me and the right people than having experienced coaching with me? Yeah. And that's another move you can make. And there are loads of others. Like, again, we talked a bit about this last time, but you'll have seen me do this in the Coaches Journey community a bunch of times. Finding the cool way to offer people an experience with you is a really fun thing to do. Finding the cool, authentic way. I remember once here we go. When I used to run a group coaching program for coaches, which morphed into the Coaches Journey community. how I used to enroll that was by doing this. I would set up 3 or 4 dates, which people could sign up for free. And then I would email all the coaches I knew saying, I'm running this group program. I'm doing these 4 dates where you can come and have an experience of what coaching with me is actually like. And you know, come along. And a guy came along and he was kind of in the process of leaving his company. And he wanted to talk to more people about coaching, but he didn't know who he could trust. And we created this really cool invitation, which was like, think of the people that you know you can trust. And then email them and say, look, I'm about to move into this huge moment of my career where I'm leaving this industry I've been in since I was 21. I'm really nervous about who I can trust about this transition yet because I'm not ready to give him my notice. But I thought about who I can really trust and count on, and I thought of you. And so what I'm doing now is those people I can really trust, I want to give them an experience of coaching with me so that they can help me in the next phase of my business. And it was super cool because he went off and did that like 20 times before the start of the program, and he'd probably, you know, paid for his... That insight had probably paid for him, made the fee worthwhile. And we did all that before we got there. So we're a little bit in creating insight there. The other ways that I do it, for example, for the Coach's Journey community, there's 4 calls a year, which you can come to for paying £20, which is the Diamond membership level. There's one in November that's coming up if people are interested. And I, before that, if there's coaches that I've connected with who have emailed me and asked me questions in the last few months, I'll email all of them, or the ones that I think might be great fits for the community, ahead of that and say, just thinking of you because I've got this call coming up, you can join for £20. Do you want to come? And again, if I do that enough, I almost can't help but have more people on those calls. If I have more people on the calls, I almost can't help but help them create insight.
Okay. So I just want to backtrack a little bit because obviously, you know, and we talked about it a bit with your Steve Chandler quote about if someone was thirsty, you'd offer them water. But we do get stuck in our heads over who to invite, how to invite. So I just think it could be helpful to dive into that a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, in some ways, that's why, you know, the reason that the Coaching Business Flywheel Booster Pack exists is because I used to give an early draft version away to members of the group coaching programs I did. And somebody said, this thing is worth the fee. I think the fee was like 1700 quid at that point in and of itself. And that's because, you know, one of the questions I always love to ask myself when I'm stuck in my head about my business is, what would a really successful coach do now? And the answer is always like, stress less, first of all, be less paranoid. Remember rule number 6 from The Art of Possibility, which is don't take yourself so goddamn seriously, and take action, right? Always the answer is that. But one of the cool things I realized I can do is, I mean, I'm successful by some measures in that
I think it's so important to pull both those things out.
Yeah.
Don't take yourself so goddamn seriously and take action. Is that what you said?
Yeah, basically. Like usually that's the pattern, right? But in there... And look, the booster pack in some ways is you can be really sure that you're doing what a somewhat successful coach would do. I mean, I make a lot less money than some people do, but I make my living from coaching. You can do exactly what I would do because there's a flowchart and email templates and all kinds of things in there. But to also what came to mind answering when you asked that question is we had on the last Coach's Journey community call, we were talking a little bit about this part of the flywheel. And somebody says, So this is what you actually did. You just reached out to people. You just got comfortable reaching out to people. And I said, no, I never got comfortable doing it. I am still not comfortable doing it. Right. So I got a list. I'm in client creation mode in my business at the moment. I think I said on one of the previous episodes that we did as part of this, it's been a rough year this year in terms of my one-to-one work. Interestingly, some of my, there are other things which are offering people a chance to experience me more, which I've been doing more of this year than before. But in terms of talks and workshops, but it's been tough. So I'm in client creation mode and I'm working down my list, right? But I'm not working down my list, right? I'm working down my list if it was sorted by the amount of discomfort from least to greatest that I feel in making this offer. And the beautiful thing about that is that courage comes first, confidence comes after. So we have to do these things. And then once we do them, we get a little bit more confident.
Yeah, it gets less difficult. But I have like my invitations in a spreadsheet. And there's ones that I just keep moving to the bottom.
Yeah.
So no doubt they're the ones that I should just move to the top and invite.
Yeah. So I was on a call last night with a guy called Frederick Laloux, who wrote a book called Reinventing Organizations, which some people will have heard. His current work is cool, actually. It's about, it's called The Week, and it's about mobilizing people, basically getting people out of stuckness around climate change action, which for some people obviously is a hugely important thing. But what was cool, my favorite moment of the call, and Frederick, he said this as he checked out, his favorite moment was he went into one of the breakouts and he had this insight that we think are, this is kind of related to this, and it's just such a cool insight that's in my mind, I want to share it. We often think our sphere of influence is small, but usually it's only small if we say our sphere of influence that we are comfortable using, right?
Yeah.
That is small. But everybody knows somebody, and I can see this on, I'm, you know, one of my wife's friends, his name is flashing in my mind right now. It's like, really influential woman, like just so ripe, right? To be, that if I could enroll her, then the possibilities for my business are really huge. But it's high risk and scary. And I don't blame myself that she's down my list, because it's like my actual life is affected by that. I will actually see her. Like, the stakes are high. And of course, I'm pretty sure, I'm not sure I can come up with enough people for the target I've set myself for this autumn to not message her at some point. But it's like, it's not easy, and we don't get comfortable. And in the end, that idea, courage comes first, confidence comes after, that is like a huge part of this.
So just to clarify, you've set yourself a target for how many people you're going to invite?
Yeah, well, look, so I have this fun thing. It's fun and really annoying. Once you start putting stuff out into the world, you actually know what you think people should do in certain situations. So I have the 12-minute method. If I find myself procrastinating on something for a long time, getting super overwhelmed by the size of a project, in the end, I'm going to look at it and go, oh no, I know what I have to do here. I have to take a small amount of action on a regular basis over a long period and commit to that. And in the end, something magical will happen. And if I'm looking at my coaching business thinking, well, I could do with a few more clients this autumn, and I have an ebook, which, or like this digital product, the Business Flywheel Booster Pack, which says send 40 of these invitations, and I will give you your money back if you don't a year later think that was worth doing. Like, if I don't send 40 invitations when I want my business to grow, who am I? So that's my target for this autumn. Yeah.
Okay.
About 12. Because of who I am, because I've played these kind of games a lot, like, as soon as I get into action, my energy shifts around the whole thing. So again, I'm out of victim, I'm out of scarcity, and I'm into, okay, I'm going to create something now. And I don't know how it's going to go. Like, but actually, I already got a good one. So it made me get creative. And I'm not quite just doing the templates from the thing. One of the things I'm doing, I realized these days, I actually know quite a lot of people who are in organizations which will have a bank of coaches that are made available to their staff. Now, I've been on banks of coaches before where I got no work, but better to be on it than not, right? And so I sent one to this guy who I did some work with his team last year. He sent this fantastic email, which in a way made the challenge worth it, which was to the organizational development lead at this organization. Done loads of work with Robbie before, but he's not like on our list. And to be honest, he's better than a lot of the people who are on the list. And that's like, I can tell you that story now. I can feel happy. I can feel like I can look at that. Because this is a very smart man. He wouldn't say that unless he had to. He wouldn't say that, if he didn't
if it
want
wasn't
to.
True.
Exactly. And so that's worth it. And so we don't know how these kinds of challenges pay back. But like Katie Harvey said, I think this is in an interview on the show. She might have said it to me once before. It's how do you get clients? No, this wasn't on the show. She once said to me that somebody asked her, Katie, how do you get clients? And she said, it feels a bit like magic. And the guy said, it was an experienced coach who was like, they were talking about working together. He was like, good. In that case, let's work together, because that's the only way it ever feels like it works. But what Katie also says is they also seem to show up when she does stuff, even if it's nothing to do with why they show up. And so that might be a bit woo for some people, but I think it gets to the crucial thing, which is, are we finding the ways to be doing things? And one of the things we can do is sit down every day and think, what are the experiences of me that I can offer to people? And who can I offer something to today? And there's those ideas that I've given about the invitations. If you've written something, if you've done a talk somewhere, if there's a video of you, in your case, there's a cool online course that's there, like, who can you offer that to today? And that's, then we just get to do something. And at the end of the day, like one of the things we said in a previous episode was, the cool thing about the five things on the coaching business flywheel is they're all things that in and of themselves, most people would like to be doing more of. So It is a good day when we've said to somebody, here's a cool thing I did. Would you like, maybe, I think it might be useful for you. Would you like to take a look? Like, everybody won't be grateful for that, but some people that you send it to will.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've talked about it with the coach, with the podcast host team, about like action begetting action. Is that the right word, begetting? I think it is.
It's a cool word, isn't it? I mean, it sounds,
yeah,
like,
let's just say that anyway.
Shakespearean almost, doesn't it?
Yeah. You know, that just taking some action might inspire you to take other action elsewhere as well. And like you say, it gets you out of victim mode. I like having it on a spreadsheet because then I can like highlight it in a nice colour.
Yeah.
You know.
We might talk about the 90-day money game when we do the, not the next episode, but the one after. But that's a Lipin game. And he always says, like, have a thing you can draw, like draw it, draw your challenge and colour it in, make it. Yeah. We used to say this anyway. I haven't spoken to Lipin for a while, but, you know, used to say all that all the time. And having the spreadsheet, you can tick things off. That's like a, you know, it's a core productivity lesson. We have to. In fact, I've heard people say, you know, meaning and fulfillment doesn't come from goals. It always comes from seeing that you're successfully working towards a goal. So, like, show yourself that. Because it can be pretty demoralizing as well, right? This is like it's like, you know, everyone's got a memory from when they're, well, I've got a memory from when I'm 15, 14, asking people out. Just get, if you're Robbie, age 13 to 17, you get almost exclusively no's. It's pretty demoralizing, right? No one wants to be feeling the flashback to that, right? That's what it's a bit like sometimes. But for the, remember the water metaphor, right? All you're doing is offering somebody a gift. Giving people stuff is nice. Some people don't want your gift. Everyone's return, you know, sometimes you give people a present at their birthday, they're gonna give it away. Like, you know, that's just how it is, but you still give the present. It's a nice thing to do.
Yeah, and also with coaching, they can give it away to someone else.
Right.
Like quite a few times I've invited people, they've said, well, not me, but can I pass this on? Yeah, absolutely, you can.
I mean, you could even make that explicit if it's not for you right now.
Yeah, I think I have done in some of my invites, yeah.
Yeah, I did it. I wanted to put some energy into my bit. I thought when I had done the business for 5 years, I stole this idea from Katie Harvey as well. Yeah, she's in episode one and a couple of others if people want to check her out. When my business turned five, I thought, what do I actually want to do? I was like, I'd love to coach a load of people. So I gave everyone who'd been a client a gift voucher or a coaching session that they could give to anybody.
Oh, nice.
I probably did I didn't do that many, but I probably did like five. And you never know, one could come in at any minute because it was an offer to experience me more.
Yeah, it's all planting seeds, isn't it? Which goes back to what I talked about at the start, that we don't really have... Yeah, they're seeds that you're sowing. You don't know when they're going to come back. I'm gonna hurry you up. Also going to say that the Lindsay Lewis, is it Lindsay Lewis?
Lindsay
episode,
Lewis, episode, yeah.
45, I think, is a really good one to listen to about invitations. And also, I think it might have been Phil Bolton, and I loved this. Correct me if I'm wrong. When you send out, I guess it's the second step. It's when people have replied to your invitation saying yes, to just give them a date and a time, or just give them two dates and two times.
Yeah, that bit is cool. Yeah, Lindsay Lewis says some great stuff about this. And she also says, which is crucial, that at this stage in particular, when you really have some embodied confidence in this stage, then the whole of your coaching business feels different. That's one of the bits I love with Lindsay. She says, you know, I basically give her a little bit of a push on how can you afford to be doing this massive creative project that you're doing and not putting energy into your coaching business. Brackets, you know, unspoken, but she heard this. Brackets, like, is your husband paying you? Like, is he supporting you? What's going on? She said, no, I don't have that kind of safety net. The safety net I have is I believe I can create clients in my business. I can believe that more coaching can happen. Phil, yeah, Phil, we have this great exchange in the episode with Phil and Inga Umblia. We'll dig that one out as well and put it in the show notes, where they were working on a business venture about abundance at the time, which we're talking about. But in that episode, I take the opportunity because they first met when Inga was Phil's client. So we dig into that process and what it was like from both sides. It's a really cool exchange. And one of the things Phil did, which is such a good idea, is to stop, to limit. There's two things that this does. So yeah, he just sent Inga. She said, he offered her an experience, an opportunity to experience him more via a mailing list. So he put this out to the Escape the City mailing list back in the day. And it said, Phil Bolton's our resident career coach, contact him here. And she contacted him and his reply was something like, sounds great, Inga. How about Le Pain Quotidien, Waterloo, Tuesday, 8 a.m. Really easy for her to say yes to that. And there's leadership in it, very tight. So it's we can get lost in all the diary stuff, and it's pretty demoralizing. And
yeah, like to-ing and fro-ing, and when are you free and when am I free, and oh no, I can't do that. Yeah, I tend to just send a couple of dates and times.
Yeah, and what I noticed is in my exchanges about things like that, the more I acted as though I wasn't free all the time, even though I was early on, the less I got stood up and the less people messed around. So it was like counterintuitively, you know, I think that I should get more of these conversations in if I say, I can meet you whenever you're free. Yeah. But what actually happens is that doesn't work. And what works much better is, at the very least, what I mostly do is, here's two or three in the next week. If these don't work, let me know. And I sometimes use Calendly and stuff like that these days. You can shortcut some of that if it works for you with those.
And you can make your Calendly look busier than you are. Oh, apparently, not that I'd do that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a cool let's finish with this for this episode, because we could go on for ages. There's a cool bit in episode is it 3 or 4 with Minor Arias? We'll put a link to that as well. Where Minor got this great advice, and I think this might be a Steve Chandler piece of advice, because I've heard other people talk about this. So there's someone whose idea this is, that it is never the person that is I hear about talking about it. So Minor talks about this coach who really helped him, and what he said is the way you get over your imposter syndrome is you create coaching slots in your diary. So you might say, I have each week 6 coaching slots. You know, every, for me, it'd be like, if I had 6, it would be every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday morning, and every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday afternoon, I have 1 each. And then you can reach out to people with complete integrity and say, I have an open spot, coaching spot on my calendar next week. I love coaching. I thought about who I'd love to have in that spot. And I thought of you. Would you like it? And that's cool. And then people can say yes or no, and that's great. And then if you don't, you know, and gradually over time, as you do that, you'll feel less weird doing it. I like that as a kind of practical tip that basically anyone can do starting tomorrow. I've got an idea. You can steal this if you want. Anybody who's out there, LinkedIn always tells me when people start new jobs. I was like, a cool research project would be, what happens if you coach a bunch of people who start new jobs as they start their new jobs for one session, and then you speak to them in 3 months and ask them what difference they think it made? I had an idea. Maybe I'll do this. Set aside every Thursday morning or whatever to do that. And every time somebody comes up on LinkedIn and starting a new job, send them that invitation.
Yeah, that's interesting.
That's got to create some work, hasn't it? I haven't done it yet though.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think there's been enough practical stuff in this. I think we've done some good signposting to some other good episodes to pick up, haven't we? Is there anything else we want to do before we finish?
Last thing, I think, is trying not to attach too much meaning to the outcome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Easier said than done, but life is easier if we don't do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And really, again, this is, we talked about it a bit last time, this is kind of, well, in my distinctions, this is soul work versus goal work. So we know we're doing this because we want more coaching business on some level, but then you have to basically put that to the back of your mind and make the offers just as good offers for you and the world as you can. Like, what's just the thing that you would really like to do? Coach somebody who you know will never be able to pay you, if that's what the thing that you most want to be able to do. Or, you know, send something to a celebrity, if that's what the thing that you feel just like most is the best thing to do right now for you. And like, I have seen in other parts of my life, for example, I was just talking to my dad, he's here at the moment, about a thing we did for his 70th birthday a few years ago. And Like, I wouldn't have been able to do that thing. It was about getting some friends to record music he'd made a long time ago. I wouldn't have been able to do that thing if I hadn't spent the previous 5, 6, 7 years offering people opportunities to experience me more. Yeah. Making these requests and making these offers to people instead of thinking, oh, this is going to be a real, like, imposition on my friend Fergus's time, being like, well, what if this is just a great opportunity for him to at least help me out, someone he cares about, or more? And it turned out like multiple people from that who, you know, a previous me would have really worried about imposing on, were like, this is so nice. I got this like creative project. I never do anything creative like this anymore.
Yeah.
Thanks for asking me. So that's what's available. People might say, this is a fantastic thing. Thank you.
Yeah, and thank you. And they might say something really nice about you as a coach, like you experienced, and then your ego gets a little boost as well.
And we need that stuff because otherwise we don't keep going.
Oh, we do. We definitely do.
So we're going to ring off for now, but we'll be back soon. A couple of weeks, the next episode will come out. If you've got questions about the last couple, there's still time to get in touch with us before we record about those last couple of stages on the flywheel, which is telling people how you work and how much it costs, and then working with clients. But we hope we'll see you back on the Coach's Journey podcast sometime soon.
Okay. Thanks, Robbie.
Bye. Hello, everybody. Robbie here. And just a few quick things to share with you before you go on to the rest of your day. Thanks for getting all the way to the end of this episode. I'm imagining that means that you think the work we're doing is important and valuable, and we think so too. And that's why I want to tell you about a way to support the Coach's Journey and get coaching from me and be part of an amazing group of coaches. That is join the Coach's Journey community. That's my flexible, affordable group coaching program for coaches. You pay between £20 and £100 a month and get access to a certain number of group coaching calls a year, plus some one-to-one time with me if you're a full member and various other benefits. And of course, you get the chance to be connected to other amazing coaches on their journeys too. Now's a great time to join because the November call is open to all members. So you can sign up for £20, become a member and come to the call, and if it's not for you, cancel your membership straight away. That's what makes it affordable and flexible. You find out loads more about this at thecoachesjourney.com/community. If that's not right for you, you can also become a supporter of the podcast. You give some financial support to us, and you can find out more about that in the show notes wherever you're listening or on our Patreon page, patreon.com/thecoachesjourney. And if neither of those is right for you, please just click subscribe or follow wherever you're listening. Leave a review if you can, and that all makes a difference to us being able to continue to keep the show free and keep going because we feel like we're building something. Thanks so much to everyone who's supported The Coach's Journey over the years, but in particular, thank you to Alex Whitten, Alison Malone, David Norris, Jessica Jem, Joey Owen, Linda Ransom, Lucy Braun, Alan Bedding, and Emma Michelle for your ongoing support. Thank you too for listening, and we hope to have you back with us on The Coach's Journey podcast sometime soon.